While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Our theme for this series in Awaken is Come and Follow. It's this passage from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew where our theme comes from that I read from this evening. It reminded me of something that happened to me recently. I was at the seminary, Sacred Heart Seminary, where I live, and I was going to go to dinner with a couple of friends, and we were leaving from there but driving separately, and I didn't know where we were going, so I said, "Where is it?" thinking I would put it in my GPS. And they said, "Oh, it's really easy. Just follow us." I said, "Okay, great." So I got my car, and I started to follow them for about, I don't know, a quarter mile or a half a mile. And I got distracted in my thoughts, right, thinking about what I was going to preach about that Sunday or how perfect Steph Curry's jump shot is, right, or what all the words to American Pie are, right? Just nonsense things. Forget what it was. And then I realized, I thought, why am I driving so slow? So I pulled over to the other lane and started going my normal speed and passed the car I was driving. Just started going on my way, right? Just lost in my thoughts. And about 10 minutes later, I realized, what am I doing? I just went on autopilot driving. Has that ever happened to you? Where you just go on autopilot and after a few minutes you're like, where am I going, right? What's my destination? I'm not good at following. I don't like following. It's hard. Because when I follow, I don't get to set the speed, and I like going my own speed. I don't get to set the direction, and I like going my own direction. I don't get to set the stops along the way. I like being the one in charge. Jesus doesn't say, come and be in charge, though. He says, come and follow me. And if you think about Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were like small businessmen, right? We hear about James and John with their dad, with Zebedee, Mr. Zebedee. But we hear about Peter and Andrew. They probably had their own kind of operation. They got to go when they wanted to go, to fish as long as they wanted to fish, and to stop when they were ready to stop. But Jesus says something different. He sees them and he says, come and follow me. I just want to talk about those two words for a minute here. Come and follow. There's a difference between the word come and go, right? Go means go and do something. But come implies coming along with someone. So whenever Jesus calls, whenever Jesus invites someone, the first thing he does is he says, come with me. In fact, when Jesus calls the disciples, when he picks out the 12 who he is going to entrust with leading his church going forward, the first thing he does is he calls them to himself. Before they get sent out, before they go preach, before they work miracles, before they found churches in every corner of the world, the first thing they do is to come to him. So the first invitation that Jesus gives today is not the laundry list of activities you have to do, all the Lenten promises or practices that you have committed to. The first laundry list of activities that comes to mind is not what the Lord calls us to first. The first thing he calls us to is to come and be with him. And you're doing that on a Friday night here. So good for you. Congratulations that you are here to come and be with Jesus. We never find anything we need apart from the Lord. So it's always a fool's gold or a fool's errand to run away from the Lord thinking we'll have what we need. He invites us to come and to be with him. So the first word he wants you to hear is to be with him, to come. But to come and not just eternally to sit around with him, right? I love this church. Father Joe has done a great job here. I don't want to be here forever though, right? Eventually my preaching will end and we'll get to leave. You don't want to be here forever. This is a great place. But Jesus doesn't invite us just to come and sit with him for all eternity, for our whole life. He invites us to come and be with him, but then Jesus is on the move. Jesus has places to go and people to see. And so when he says come and follow, that entails an action. To come and be in his presence so that we can then follow him. We can go where he leads. That Jesus gets to set the agenda, the pace, the destination, the distractions along the way, right? The tourist stops that we stop and spend time at. When Jesus says, come and follow me, it's an invitation to walk where he walks, to go where he goes, to be with him in every part of your life, to follow him into every corner of the world. I know some of you, as Father James said, you can't see anything, or Father Jason said, you can't see anything out here, so you might all be sleeping for all I know. But I know a few of you. It was beautiful getting to talk to a few of you before the event tonight. And to hear like what God is doing in your life or where you are in your life. I talked to a couple here who he just proposed this evening. And I don't remember what she said, but no, she said yes. So what a beautiful moment to be at the cusp of this new life together. There's a young couple I had the blessing to be at their wedding less than a year ago. And they're here spending time before Jesus. What a beautiful, kind of exciting time in their life. There are others of you here I know have recently lost a loved one. Within the last few months, less than a year. I know the challenge, the struggle, the sadness that comes with that. One of the beauties of being here at St. Malachy is seeing all the young people who are here, the high schoolers and the college age students who are here. And to know the excitement and the uncertainty of this time, the excitement of high school and having all the potential ahead of you, your whole life ahead of you, but also thinking, I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. Where am I going to go to school? Do I have all the right extracurricular activities to fill up my admissions, my application? Wherever we are in our life, Jesus wants us to follow him there. He wants us to follow him into every corner of our life, not to be afraid to come and be with him, and then to follow where he leads us. I know the Lord is calling some of you to be his priests, to be his religious. Do not be afraid to come and be with Jesus and to follow where he leads. There is nothing greater than to turn your life over to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. Because I know you are the one who brings eternal life. You are the one who gives me what I could never have on my own. So our words tonight are come and follow. Follow Jesus wherever he leads. The words he says to Simon and Andrew are come and I will make you fishers of men. They were fishermen, right? That's the craft they knew. And Jesus spoke the eternal truth of God and his call for them in their circumstances, into a way that they could understand. They knew what it was to go fishing. They knew the great joy of a big catch of fish, and they knew what it was to go out all night and to pull the nets in and to find nothing. Simon and Andrew knew fishing. And so Jesus speaks into the reality of their lives, and he calls them in a way that they could hear. I love basketball, right? Like, Jesus is first in my life, my family second, and basketball's third, right? There might be something in between there, but I love basketball. And I was praying not too long ago in this situation that came up back when I was in high school. I was playing on a rec team at Joe Dumars Fieldhouse, and we were getting slaughtered. We were bad, right? And this guy came up to me, who was a good player on the other team. He came up to me, and he just said, "Hey, man, you got to shoot more." I thought, who is this guy, right? But I didn't think much about it. It came up a couple of times, but I was praying not too long ago, and that image came into my mind. I thought, what does that mean? I haven't seen this guy in 25 years, 20 years, whatever. And that came up in my prayer, and I thought, Jesus wants to encourage me to get out of the boat, to be bold, to live apostolic boldness, and he's using a language that I can understand, a language that excites me, right? It's not that Peter and Andrew didn't know anything about shepherds or growing crops, but he knew what would excite their heart. He knew that they knew everything about fishing. He knows I love basketball. And so that's one of the languages Jesus speaks to me in. You got to shoot more. Don't be afraid to shoot. When I give you a word, go out and bold, to be more courageous. The Lord was encouraging me to be more bold, to be more courageous, to be more confident in doing what he calls me to do. After he calls these four disciples, what's the word that Matthew uses to talk about their response? Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. At once, like that, they did it. There is something beautiful, brothers and sisters, about opening your heart to Jesus and then saying a yes to whatever he says, an immediate yes. Lord, I want to be your disciple. Show me where to go, and then give me the courage to do it. I was talking to a friend of mine not too long ago about Lent coming up and talking about what we're going to do during Lent. And he said, you know what I'm going to do during Lent? As soon as my alarm clock goes off, I am not going to hit the snooze button. I'm going to get up immediately, go on my knees, say, Jesus, I love you. Help me follow you. Help me to follow you today. He gave up the snooze button for Lent. If you haven't thought about what you want to give up for Lent, you're 3 days in, your chance to decide is over. You have to give up the snooze button, right? That's me shooting more right now. So immediately, he was telling me that what he wanted to do is to be more immediately disposed to doing what the Lord wanted him to do. Not to hit the snooze button literally next to his bed, or figuratively in his life of discipleship. Friends, let's be like Peter and like Andrew, James and John, that we immediately say yes to Jesus. And that should scare you, right? Because to be in relationship with God is a little bit scary. We should be a little bit in awe of whose presence we're in tonight. Because God is not a safe, tame God. He is a wild, powerful, almighty God who asks everything of us. And he asks everything of us Because he gives us everything. Because he calls us to follow him, not just randomly, not just wandering around, but he calls us to follow him to the cross, where he will show us the depth of his love for us, where his arms will be nailed wide open, where he'll pour forth every ounce of blood, every breath he has, to tell you and to tell me how much we're loved, how much he wants to spend eternity with us. That's the God who says to you, come and follow me. Jesus invites us tonight to hear his words, to respond generously, to trust when he calls us to say yes immediately, and to not look back. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Lord Jesus, I trust you with my whole life. With every decision, every part of my life, I trust that you want my happiness more than I want my happiness. I trust that whatever you ask of me is for my good. I trust you. Help me to say yes to you today and every day, to immediately follow your will, to break the snooze button of my discipleship, so that I can be wholeheartedly, completely given over to you, so that you can use me for whatever will you have to make your name known and loved to others, so that I can be your disciple now and forever. Amen.